Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the saying, don't fix what isn't broken. In this show, we will be explaining the value to proving everything scientifically by using the converse statements. Listen as we explain the principles of divine science above and beyond the karmic law of opposites. Humanity must trust in God and know we have a propensity to be perfect. When it comes to evaluating spiritual identity, fear is the litmus test. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the perfection of being. So Swami, today's topic of the show is humanity must fix what is broke. In your opinion, what do you think is broke?
Well, I think the main thing is what they talk about in the Yoga Sutras is avidya, ignorance, where we're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. I think collectively, we really don't today know the difference between self-improvement and self-realization. Because we are so materialistic in our thinking and our approach to life and our belief in matter, that we really lost complete touch with the concept of spirit, and then the demonstration of divine law. So just gauging by what's going on collectively here in the world with all of this reaction to this virus that seems to be going around, I think is a real indicator that it's time that we fix this.
Well, you had mentioned self-improvement, and I automatically think about all those self-help books that I know in the past I've been guilty of reading and purchasing, and that's just us taking thought of our physical well-being, whether it's our physical bodies or our mental health, as we call it, and that's something that we have to learn to shed that.
Right. We have to come out of the belief that we are physical, that we are mortal creatures. And like the Bible tells us, we must know the truth, that we must know that we are eternal spiritual being. And what we'll find is that as we start to shift our awareness from material values to spiritual values, we'll actually start to see that we'll find solution to a lot of the things that we're struggling with across the board because of our personal sense of who we think we are.
Right. And as we said in the summary of the show, humanity must trust in God and know we have a propensity to be perfect. So we have two different things in there that has to come into our realization.
A lot of it comes down to the fact that we really don't have good leadership, that the institutions that have taken over religions globally, collectively, really don't have the message of what was referred to as the Christ, which is basically Christ consciousness. It is awareness of divine presence or divine omnipresence that really seems to be absent. And we're bound up in this sense of separation from this unified state of being that in and of itself is the origins of all of our problems.
Let's talk more about humanity must trust in God. And it's interesting to me because every day we probably go into our wallets and we pull out, you know, a dollar bill or whatever, and on it says, "In God we trust." So we probably see this every day, and yet it's one of those things that we're just not conscious of anymore. So how do we go about starting to trust in God?
Well, I think the first order of business is we have to know God, because most of us today, we're still working with a concept of God. So we never really get out of mortal thought. And knowing God as an invisible, intangible, omnipresence makes it a living God, makes it something that is right here, right now. It's available to us. Now, we also have to understand that it isn't going to report in our five-sense mind. So in order for us to have some sort of level of communication with this omnipresence, we have to think differently. The Bible refers to that as repent. And just how radically we have to change our thinking. Again, we don't have leadership. There isn't much information out there telling you that, like the Bible says, we have to take no thought for our life. The other thing is using some of the significators to give us clues as to, do I understand myself spiritually? Because like we said in the opening, when it comes to evaluating spiritual identity, fear is the litmus test. Let's look at the world today. I mean, we are controlled by fear. We are manipulated by fear. All our self-improvement is driven by fear. And we have to fix that. We have to learn we are eternal spiritual beings and we're not a mortal creature with an expiration date. Because that shift in understanding changes everything, which eliminates the fear.
So you're talking about we have to fix that. And then maybe by doing that, understanding the principles of divine science. And I'm wondering if you could maybe review that with us and let's talk a little bit more about it.
Well, I think the thing that we have to understand, like you said, is what is the principle of divine science? And it is really the power of one. That there is only one God, there is only one truth, there is only one life, there is only one love. Only one divine life held, controlled, and governed by this divine law of love and harmony. Which means that we have to come out of the belief in the many into this understanding of the one. Out of the mortal into the immortal. Out of the material into spirit. And that will really start to open us up to a completely different understanding of what this term that we call life is really all about.
So the second part of that, we talked about humanity must trust in God. And the second part is we have to know that we have a propensity to be perfect. And so we're saying perfect with a capital P. And I'm wondering, can we delve a little deeper in that?
Yeah, because our natural state, the truth of our being, is that we are the reflection of the divine. We are the expression of an indestructible principle. And spirit is perfect. And when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. But we start out with a belief that we're mortal, that we are a material form, which puts you on the wrong side of the equation. And so by changing that and starting with the simple fact that I have a propensity to be perfect, that this one divine law in this universe is outpouring perfection. And spirit is the only power in this universe. It is the only self-existent power in this universe. Everything else really relies on belief for the appearance of power. And so the more we are educated, the better we understand how things are working, then the easier it is for us to start to demonstrate this so that this isn't just a word on a page, perfect. And of course, most of us would argue and say, well, that's not possible. But it's only not possible to mortal thought. Perfection is the nature of spirit. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. And as long as we continue to accept our material identity and work with our five-sense mind, which is human conjecture, it is only working with an approximation. We're working with thought at that level. And these thoughts are working with incomplete information. And we're forming all of our theories and beliefs based on this limited sense of information. Whereas if we shift our awareness to the realms of the holy, the realms of spirit, where everything is complete and fulfilled, then that's what they mean by think differently. So that you are now thinking with divine mind, which thinks in terms of the absolute, as opposed to thinking with mortal mind, which works with the rational. One is a belief in the many and a belief in two powers, and the other is the belief of the one. And what we'll find is that that one is the only one that is self-existent, which makes it the only one that's real.
So you're saying this perfection is all around us already. It's right here, it's right now, and it's not only around us, but it's also within us. We're already perfect spiritual beings, but we don't have a knowledge of it, and we need to access this through the divine mind. So my question to you is, that sounds wonderful. I'm looking for that. So how do we do it?
Right. We have to change. We have to take no thought. There are many quotes in the Bible. One of them here that we have is Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? The Bible is giving us clues and trying to guide us into a better way of understanding ourselves. Mary Baker Eddy, in her work and in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she really lays it out for us. And one of the things that she says is that we have to come out of these three modes of mortal thought. And the only way that we can do that is stopping thinking. But what we find is that we can't do that. So what we have to do is make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of this divine mind. And the difference is that rational thought reports in the mortal mind. But divine idea doesn't report in the mortal mind, and it is only understandable by what is called the Christ. And the Christ is the interpreter. The Christ is what makes this Word of God intelligible to human consciousness. And it's basically experienced as cultivating spiritual sense, where you're moving away from regulating everything through a sense level of evaluation, and you're starting with this truth of being, that creation is perfect. If God is perfect and God is all, then all is perfect. But what we have to do is come out of or forsake human thinking, which is reporting in our five-sense mind, and start to trust this invisible, intangible divine presence, which is what is meant by, in God we trust.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, right before the break, you talked about, again, in God we trust. So why is it that we don't trust in God?
Well, primarily, we don't know God aright. We believe in what we think God is, but we believe in matter. And so because we believe in matter, we are now governed by fear, which is what we were talking about. Fear is the litmus test for who I think I am. What is it that I identify with? Fear is a defense mechanism for this false sense of who we think we are, that we're not a mortal creature, that we are an eternal spiritual being. But whatever we identify with, whatever it is that we hold our attention on, is what we're going to manifest, because that's how we're going to think. So as we identify with our sense level of living, we're kind of in the trap, because our thoughts will not get beyond the belief in two powers. We will continue to perpetuate this cycle of death and rebirth. And I think what's important to understand is that that entire dynamic is driven by belief. And so as long as we believe that we are a mortal creature, as long as we continue to think with our five-sense mind, we perpetuate this illusion that we're going to die. But in truth, we are eternal spiritual being. Eternal means that there is no beginning, there is no end, that we are the reflection of the divine. And for us to accept our identity as spirit, you no longer have needs, because the physical form, the evidence procedure that you follow with that is that physical form has needs. But spiritual form or spiritual identity has no needs. It is self-existent. We are no longer codependent, which is all driven by fear. Now, once we come out of that and we rest in what the Bible calls my peace, and we live and move and we have our being in this awareness that we are an eternal spiritual being, that starts to correct our thinking. We start to think with divine mind. We start to think in terms of the absolute. We are moving out of the finite into the infinite. We're moving out of the mortal into the immortal. From that perspective, now you start to be able to demonstrate divine law, spiritual power. This was the stuff that heals the sick, reforms the sinner, raises the dead. But you must know it. That's what the Bible says. You must know the truth and it will make you free. And it will make you free from this cycle of death and rebirth. This belief that we are a mortal creature.
You know, like what you used to say all the time, you used to say, stand in fear and you stand to lose. So I think now we're getting a little bit better understanding what that really means, because fear is this defense mechanism for this false sense of existence that you're talking about.
Right. And here we are. We're trying to improve this false sense. That's where we spend most of our efforts and our time, in trying to make this human experience better. And most of us would just be happy if we could get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience. But in truth, divine law, what the Bible called the wrath of God, the law of karma, will not let us accept imperfection. This divine parent loves us and will not let us accept this false sense. It will not let you accept imperfection. It will continue to provide us with these catalysts. It will continue to provide us with motivation to change, to think differently, to get out of the belief that I am vulnerable, to get out of the belief that I'm not good enough. These are all human beliefs. There's nothing self-existent about that. It's not backed by divine law. It's not backed by the creative principle of the universe. And because it's not backed by this creative principle, it has no reality of its own. So if we can change how we're thinking, we can actually start to change this external picture, which is just a thought about what is really here, which is the perfection of being.
Well, as you were talking about, the Bible does give us instruction, and many times it talks about us trusting in God. And I did go on the Bible app and I researched the word fear, and it came up with some pretty good Bible verses. And there's one here that I like to talk to you about, and it's 2 Timothy 1:7, and this is the King James Version. And this reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I know we could probably talk about this verse for hours to break it down, but what's interesting is the three words, power, love, and of a sound mind. But we have to look at these three words, not with our human mind, but with a divine understanding.
Right. That changes everything, because on a divine level, you have to understand that spiritual power isn't something that is used to defend you against evil forces. On a spiritual level, there's only one power, and it is eternal life. It is absolute goodness. That is the gift that comes with spiritual identity. But like you say, it's the antidote to fear, because fear is really the defense mechanism for this false sense that I am a mortal creature. And the avenue to get that, the connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind and the real man, which is found in spiritual identity. So by us assuming spiritual identity, it dissolves the false sense and also eliminates this mortal mind and exchanges it for this divine mind, which now sees the truth of being. It sees the world in the way that it is being held, controlled, and governed by spiritual law.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting coming across this particular verse, because it states plain and simple that God did not give us fear. This is something that we created ourselves. God doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't even know what that is, because he didn't give it to us.
Right. And it becomes a shock when you find out that God didn't create this world, that this world is really the creation of human thought or mortal thought, and that there are levels of it. And we've talked about that in other shows, that there are three modes of mortal thought, and we've assigned that to the mutable signs in the zodiac: Gemini, which is the lower mind, Virgo, the mid-mind, human intelligence, Sagittarius, the higher mind, which is the world mind or collective consciousness, and Pisces is divine mind.
Well, I do have another Bible verse here, and this is from Isaiah 41:10, again, the King James Version. And this one reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So again, here's this instruction not to fear, because the Lord thy God is always with us. And I wanted to get your take on what it means when he says, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Right. Divine idea or divine righteousness brings us back into the one, that there is only one divine life. And just like we have talked about the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we found out that what that meant was not to judge them with your five-sense mind, not to work with the appearance, but to pierce through the appearance and to judge them by the divine idea, the creative principle, which is the only truth, it's the only reality that is self-existent. So we're changing how we're thinking.
So let's go back to talking about humanity and fixing this problem.
Yes, civilization and humanity has an obligation to fix its present condition, which is spiritual bankruptcy. And let's look at something like what was said in the Bible. "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That we really have to change our value system. We have to change how we're thinking. We need to educate ourselves beyond the testimony of our senses. I think a lot of it is going to be found in this whole thing of forsaking human thinking for divine knowing. And the way that we do that, also we find that instruction in the Bible with "take no thought." An example of that would be found in Matthew 13:11. "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." That when we are finally starting to understand that this one divine life, this one divine mind needs an outlet, and by us making our mind an avenue of awareness for it, for us having recognition for this invisible, intangible divine presence, we invite that into our consciousness. We create this opportunity to let divine presence, divine omnipresence, express itself through us. And that is where we find dominion, because you're moving beyond that personal sense and you're now assuming your spiritual identity, which is impersonal and also backed by the principle, the power of the divine.
Well, it is time to start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can access the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page by clicking on the fading banner when it comes up with the Blog Talk Radio Show information on there. Also, don't forget the online classes tab will direct you to Swami's webinars that he has for you for free on Wednesdays at noon. And with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to check their base of operation and to see if they are being affected on a level that is causing any kind of fear. And if they do find that they are in some sort of fear or even concern, that it's time to fix what is broke. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.